You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is a good friend who returns to do another wonderful show, and it's Anelia Benz. In January of 2010, she received a request from Source to go public as a person in order to promote the message of empowerment and sovereignty. Emerging from anonymity, she became a messenger of personal and global ascension. She has worked tirelessly to explore, investigate, develop, and disseminate tools, meditations, and exercises that are quick, mystery-free, and highly effective. Tools used by hundreds of thousands of people to achieve personal ascension. As she says, I'm here to raise the vibration of the planet. You can find out more, sign up for her free newsletter, and read the articles at www.ascension101.com. So let's welcome her to the show. Hi, Anelia. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me. This is so cool.
Well, you know, it was funny because after going to your event in Sacramento a few days ago, the Hangout, I just realized that there's a lot of information that has been circulating and a lot of things that you're working on that people want to know about, myself included. And, you know, we all have questions, and, you know, even though there are no real answers to things, we can get clues. So I thought it'd be a wonderful time to have you on this on the show, especially since your birthday is this week.
It is, and you're celebrating that for me, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, doing a birthday bash for me. Thank you.
Well, yeah, we're going to have a little gathering here on March 8th, and basically it's open to people, you know, your friends and mutual friends and people who live in California, and if it gets too big, well, we'll just have to, I don't know what we'll do.
Yeah, it's really cool because you're probably all familiar, obviously, because this is Lance's show, but if you're coming in through my website, Lance is establishing a healing center. And we're going to hold the party there. And so we're encouraging everybody to send donations for the healing center. And if you're going to come over to bring something to eat or to share, and I obviously, because I'm the birthday girl, I will be accepting gifts. Unashamedly loving gifts. So you're very welcome. And Lance, you can give him the address of your place and your healing center.
Yes.
Or maybe, and instructions on how to donate as well.
Right, right. Well, what I'll do is people can email me at zanymystic59@yahoo.com, and I'll most likely be posting some information on Facebook as well, and because I don't want to give out my address and phone number on the
right.
on the air, even though nobody can find it. So people can contact me through email, and they can write you at your email too, can't they?
Yes, absolutely. They go to ascension101.com and scroll to the bottom. You have a contact page, and you can email through there for the information, and we can send it to you, definitely.
Wonderful. So if anybody's interested that's in California, Anelia lives, she's a neighbor. She's about 45 miles away. And in Sacramento, and the Zany Mystic Ranch Olive Garden and Healing Center are located in Placerville, California. So if you're listening tonight and you live in this area, then you're more than welcome to come by, meet Anelia and myself and our friends, and just hang out and have a good time, some good food, and have a nice birthday bash to celebrate the person who's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Oh, thank you. And so, fabulous discussions whenever we're together as well. It's like, go really deep. Not for the faint-hearted.
Well, we always have a good time when we hang out together.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, totally. It's very true. So much laughing and joy. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a chance for people to get to know you and get to know me and the real people that we are. You know, we're not just... We're human beings in an incarnation here, so maybe mm-hmm. it's your first, but I probably had a couple.
Human, you know? Yeah.
So one of the things that I thought we could talk about, there were a lot of good questions that came up when we started to congregate in your new office at Ancient Futures in Sacramento. And there were a lot of good questions, and there were some questions about chakra removal and are they necessary and what's going on and so on and so forth. I'm wondering if any of the things that we talked about are subjects that you'd like to expand on or repeat a little bit for the audience tonight.
Yeah, the information that chakras are actually not necessary or that they are removable... it's coming out now. Various people are talking about it. I've seen it on the internet quite a bit recently, and I think it's because the human collective is ready to get that information. I found out that there were tools a few years back. I think it was 2010, actually, it was 2009, when the Ascension 101 course was coming down or being downloaded for me to use as a form of support and also a form for individuals to raise their personal vibration. There was a whole chapter on chakras, right? And when I tried to get the information to start using it, because every time a new chapter would come in, I would use it myself to make sure that it worked, to make sure that it was accurate, that I didn't add anything to it, that wasn't originally, you know, information that we could use. So I started using it, and I couldn't find any chakras in my physical energetic body. So I started getting very curious about it. And then as I started looking into this topic and following the energy lines and stuff, I found that they're just constructs, they're tools, and as all tools, they can be used positively or negatively, and you can create them and dissolve them and create them again if you'd like. But always, as any tools, it's better for you to have full control of them. Otherwise, somebody else will use them. Now, they're not mm-hmm. positive or negative. They're just tools. Why they were placed there originally on the human construct, I have no idea. I haven't really looked into that topic because I just look into topics that I find to be relevant. I know that they're there. So that particular chapter was about taking control of them, so you open them again, close them, make them large, make them small, you know, clean them up and everything, but they don't have any specific role. And those roles are actually attached to them through one's own programming. And I know that they can, if the person is completely unconscious of them or leaves them... open to projections of authority to use, they can be used against them. So it's really important to take control of them or to dissolve them, to get rid of them, or create them when you need them or you want to use them. They're absolutely stunningly beautiful, I have to say. Mm. So for that, when that information was coming down, what I did was to construct some. So I constructed some in my own body. I downloaded all the information. I made sure it was working. And then I dissolved them again because I honestly didn't need them. They felt uncomfortable. I'm not really comfortable with structures anyway. And whenever structures have, if I create them and I place them into my body, they're not so uncomfortable. But structures coming from outside, the times that I have allowed, one time that I have allowed one person to put a structure onto me, I nearly died. So after that, I'm kind of, you know, get away from structures, especially if they're coming from somewhere else. But I have played with other structures in myself and created and dissolved them. So for me, I know there's a lot of information saying that the chakras are negative and they're being used negatively and they're bad and they're being placed there by enslavers. I'm not really sure. It doesn't resonate fully because I've seen them being used in very, very positive ways. And normally when a structure is fully negative, you cannot use it for positive things. But I do know that the information that's coming through saying negative entities are using these to enslave people, yep, that is true. I've seen that. I've seen it happen when people are unconscious about them or they give their authority away to other entities through fear or through just projection of, you know, you're more powerful, you know better, and please use it type thing.
Absolutely. So the key there that you're really talking about is the difference between assuming the power that we are, and we're being in charge of it rather than being at the effect of it, and you know, stop playing the victim aggressor roles or mentalities.
Yeah.
In other words, the more conscious we are, the more able we are to, you know, basically use any tools that we want. You know, even
exactly.
if it comes down to us from millions of years ago or hundreds of thousands of years ago from some Hindu blue god, the old paradigms, you know, as we know, the old paradigms are dissolving. And as I see it, one of the reasons is because this is the end of one of the larger cyclical games that one of them is 6.4 billion years. There may be a cycle that's larger that's in the trillions of years that's coming to an end. But they all seem to be coming to an end at the same time, so that would indicate that it's time to write a new story, that the old metaphors are going to dissolve, and we're literally creating it. So it's not about finding things from the past that are tools, but of inventing them, right?
Yeah. Anybody is able and capable of creating their own energy tools for their own body for things that they want. And they don't have to be downloaded from a higher self, or they don't have to be, like, received from some sort of entity that we give our authority away to. Because, again, some religions have something right. There are false gods out there, yeah? And the only true god is yourself. You're the I am. That's the true authority in your life. So beware of things that you receive. Some people will be creating tools and structures for very specific reasons. And if you receive one of those from an individual, another human being, then have that intent and knowledge that you're receiving that for that specific reason, and that it won't be allowed to be used for anything else. Yeah. So you take full control. So yes, absolutely, you can make your own. You can receive them from other individuals, but make sure you have absolute control of every aspect of that tool from then on, yeah?
What, there was a big fad for a while there, and I still see people doing them, and I know that there must be something good about them or people wouldn't be doing it, but what's your take on DNA activations?
I think that, I think there's positive moves on individuals. The language or the vocabulary, DNA activation, I don't think really fully covers what we want to do, because we're not really activating. We're just, because they're always there, they're always alive. Our DNA is ultra-dimensional. It goes through all the dimensions. And what we're doing is just becoming aware of other levels of DNA or other dimensions of DNA. And other DNA particles on the physical reality, you know, physicality. So activating really doesn't cover it, and that might actually, if you use that word, might actually limit your access or awareness of DNA. I think that if you say, use other words such as becoming aware of the intent to use or the intent to have in your toolbox, you know, something else that actually empowers you and really reflects what's happening,
Right. Well, Well, like being multidimensionally aware, for instance.
Yeah.
A lot of people are having that multidimensional awareness of many different perspectives simultaneously. And then being able to hold those perspectives inside, within, and see things from a vast array of perspectives, to me, it's more like an expansion into, you know, other frequencies, and if you want to call them dimensions, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like frequencies and vibrations is kind of how I sense it.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, good. Okay. Now, there's one other question that I feel I need to ask before we delve into some other subjects, and that is something that's common for the collective. We're all seeing what's going on in the world today in 2014, and I think a lot of people are wondering where the collective is headed, given the extremes which have formed and continue to split people, cities and continents, and mm-hmm. all of the divisiveness around, you know, the economy's collapsing, there's a reset, there's a this, there's a that, the ETs are coming, blah, blah, blah. Can we just quickly address that so that, you know, we can get along to each other's subjects?
Yeah. You know, when I look at the economy's collapsing, when I look at this in a financial crisis, there's this and that, and I look at the entire human collective, I see that it's an absolute lie. Because, for example, just one tiny little example. Last night, I was invited out to go to a local eatery around here. We went. We had to wait for an hour to be seated because it was so full.
Huh.
Yeah. And when there's an economic collapse and there's no money and there's no jobs, that doesn't happen. And it wasn't like
an expensive
place. Just
wait in bread lines.
Yeah. You know, it's like exactly. Exactly. There would be bread lines.
Yes.
There wouldn't be people waiting for an hour to be able to be seated in a restaurant, right?
Right.
And I think it's a big hype, and it's to do with fear. But also, there's an element of expectancy of change.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to happen anyway. We are transforming as a human species. We are transforming. We are becoming more aware. Even the most sleepy of individuals is more awake now than they were 20 years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happening at a global scale, and I think that the fear part of it, you know, the financial collapse, you're not going to have anything to eat, all that is being used and pumped to the public through media continuously and being used to bring a level of fear that will solidify a timeline of patriarchy continuing into the future. Yeah?
Mm.
And I think that's the attempt, that's what's been done, what's happening, to try and bring as many people as possible to continue with that line. So the financial collapse, so it's going to do this, it's going to do that, and then all this weather and the chemtrails and everything else. And so all these things are being used, but at the same time, there are millions and millions of people who are literally working to raise their own vibration, not using those words. Although that actually, those words that I started and I was the only person using them in 2010, those are being used everywhere now. Raise your vibration. Even I was looking at an ad for, I think it was coaching on something really regular, like a business coaching person, and they were saying, talking about raising the company's vibration. I thought, oh, this is so cool. It's really coming into the mainstream. But so this type of things is happening, and it's really up to each individual to raise their vibration, to really move out and disengage from the fear and to disengage from others choosing what's going to happen to them in their lives, and to disengage from the fear of survival, the fear of death, the fear of poverty, the fear of hunger and thirst. Because that's what's being used. It's like the illusion of lack of water, the illusion of lack of food, the illusion of lack of fresh air. And what does that do? It brings the body into fear. Now, your body's going to die, right? Or it's going to transform. It's going to do one of two things. And there's nothing you can do to stop that, whether it dies or transforms today, or whether it dies and transforms in 100 years from now. It makes no difference. In a scale of how long your soul has been alive and well and doing great, is like less than a blink of an eye, you know, because you're an eternal being. And what happens to this particular incarnation, what happens to you, this particular physical body that you are working with in a symbiotic relationship, is tiny, 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 tiny. So give it less importance and concentrate on doing the stuff that brings you joy. Yeah, concentrate on doing the stuff that brings you inspiration. Support the people that inspire you. Support the people that empower you. And then go ahead, turn around, and inspire others, empower others. But don't do things for them, do not save them, and don't fall into fear, yeah? Because, and then take action as well. Go and meet with others. Get hundreds or thousands of people together. And in a, from a space of high vibration, do stuff that tells the government, tells the human collective, no, the police beating people up is not something I agree to, right? I do not agree to this. This is not acceptable in my reality. Stop, yeah? So we're going to, and then you project what you want, yeah? A society that actually doesn't need police force. Yeah? So it's kind of, have a look and see how unnatural the reality is that we're living in, and acknowledge it. Okay, that's really kind of funky there. And this is actually the real reality that we're moving towards and that I actually live in, is where humans do not need policing, and humans actually are not into drama, and they're not into suffering or fear, because they're a waste of time and they keep you from experiencing true experience of reality. You know, a lot of people are sometimes scared of going into oneness or raising their vibration or going into enlightenment because they think they won't be able to feel things anymore. But actually, the reverse is true. Because there's no fear to hold you back, the stuff that you can feel and experience is just amazing, amazing, because there's no blocks, yeah?
So it sounds like that kind of resolves the question, too, about the nature of those who are playing God on the planet and creating a lot of evil and wars and destruction and horrible things that are intolerable, that we don't want to live with.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. We have manifested those individuals, and we allow them to exist here. And it's up to us to stop manifesting them and stop allowing them to exist here or don't do their, that bidding here, right? We don't need that anymore as a species. But of course, they're scared because they think that's the only way to live or that's the only way they're going to survive. And there are negative entities that came in to assist on that particular paradigm, and they're scared too because as soon as we stop feeling the fear, as soon as we move away from being reactive, their bread and butter's gone. You know, they can't feed anymore, and they're going to die off, or they'll have to leave this universe. You know, it's like, yeah, they're going to do everything possible to stop us from moving on as a species.
Absolutely. Well, so now there's an we're going to shift a little bit into something else, which you brought to my attention, which I'm not too aware of. In fact, this will be a whole new topic for me, too. And that is something that you refer to as mapping and how it's used consciously and unconsciously by humans, and that it can also be used as a weapon to distract and sometimes to destroy high vibrational beings. So
yeah.
This is going to be an interesting part because this is going to be new for me to hear.
Yeah, even though it is well known by some individuals on the planet, especially if they have done any mystical training, it's not really very clear, or the information that I've seen is not really easy to understand. And I always like to have things that are very easy to grasp and see, and I'd like to translate the information. I've been looking at this information for a while, but it was never the right time, and now it is. I've been told just a few couple of weeks ago that it's now the right time to start talking about this. And the more we talk about it, the more we look at it, and the more we discuss it, the easier it's going to be for the human collective to become aware of it. Yeah.
Yes.
This is something that is used broadly in advertising, in the false flag things, in education, in society, culture, religions. In fact, it's used everywhere because it is one of our most basic principles of behavior as a human being. What mapping means is that when you are next to or observing another individual, and for humans, it doesn't stop at other humans. It can also continue and be animals as well because we're so good at it. We start feeling what those individuals are feeling. It's like what people call being, what's that word when people feel what others feel?
Oh, empathy?
Yes.
Empathic?
So part of it is the empathy, right? So we start feeling what they're feeling, and every single human being is empathic. There's no human beings that are not empathic at some level. That's why when you watch a video of people laughing, after about 20, 30 seconds, you're going to be smiling. After about 40 seconds, you're going to be giggling. And after a minute, you're going to be laughing. Yeah? That is empathic mapping.
Yeah? Okay.
Empathic mapping. Because you're just reacting or mapping to that situation and those individuals. And the emotional aspect of it is the empathic mapping. Now, intellectual mapping also happens. When individuals are having a mental stimuli from another individual, they will start mapping to that individual. So if you have a group of, that's why they have universities and schools. You have the teacher in front, and they're going on not just through the topic that they're talking about, but also their energy behind it and the way they behave, yeah,
mm-hmm.
The way they move and act, the students will be mapping to that individual in front of them. When you hear the news, you're mapping to the people who are talking to you in an aspect of authority when they're talking to your mind, yeah?
Mm.
And when you go to church, the person in front is going to be, you're going to be mapping to that person so that what happens, the information that comes in will kind of you start changing your mental structure and behavior with regard to information according to that. That's why, for example, when people say that a teacher or somebody was the reason why they became an artist, the reason why they became a mathematician, the reason why they became an astrologer or whatever, is because that person was so powerful in their projection of inspiration and power and knowledge that how it came through was so powerful that it inspired the person. It was a very strong map to integrate into our own self. And so that's the intellectual part. Energetically, we can also map. And the reason why I had that hangout out of the office was to show that, yeah? And mm-hmm. individuals who, that's why people go to gurus or spiritual leaders, or they go to really, or they hang out with personalities that they like, or they hang out with personalities that resonate with them, but that are actually stronger energetically than they are, because it maps their own energy field, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this has been used for thousands of years in India, for example, when gurus just sit in meditation with people, and then those people have those, I can't remember the names of them, that they go into enlightenment for a period of time, and then they can have that experience, and then they know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually just energetic mapping. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why often when they move away, they can't really replicate it, because it's not something that unless they're there all the time, yeah? So, this is mapping, and how is it being used? Well, it's being used through the media, through energetic vibration, even through artificial amplification of energies for our physical energy bodies and physical bodies as well. And it can be used to move large bodies of people to do stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So yeah. It's information. I mean, that's just like the top of the iceberg that we're talking about here.
Right.
But it's very much something that can be used, and it can be our greatest strength if we are aware of it, so we can map to what we want. Or it can be our greatest enemy if we're totally unconscious of it and it's being done to us unconsciously. Yeah, because anything we are unconscious of, we're basically saying, somebody else come in here and use it for me because I can't be bothered to use it myself. Yeah?
Right.
So that's why it's really important. I'm going to be doing a class at Ascension 101 next month, probably on this topic, or maybe I'll do it at the office, you know.
So we can go
really deep into it or something. But I think that this is information that we really need to start looking into, becoming curious about, and start discussing at a broader level, because as soon as people become aware of it, it's no longer something that can be used against them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's like, how would you, for example, know that you're aware that that's a strength? You map energetically, mentally, emotionally. How would you, Lance, use it to your own advantage?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I generally don't think of in terms of taking advantage of situations. So, but being aware of it and being more conscious of it would reveal, and it does reveal, when mapping is occurring in my field or around me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
when
I'm in a field where mapping is going on, for instance, in large crowds or in watching television or in a movie theater, for instance, those are all places where you can be mapped. In a mall, shopping stores, any place that are large places where people congregate together, there's mapping. It's, you know, there,
mm-hmm.
you know, I may have used a different word for it, but basically there are frequency controls and frequency devices being used all over the world, and we're seen at larger and larger scales as herds. And so
mm-hmm.
we're moved globally, we're moved by country, we're moved individually, and we're also moved as segments, just as as corporations move animals and cattle into the process of being killed and used for food, you know, we're not much different. And the you know, that's one of the things that I think is so disturbing when you start getting in touch with your subtle senses, that you can't be around unnatural ways of coercion and attempts to shift your energy in a certain direction because it's not harmonious with your own frequency.
Right, yeah. But that's how you would use it to your advantage, you see, because obviously it's the advantage of being aware, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you could actually use it to map to things that you want to achieve.
Oh, yes, right.
You know?
Right.
It's like you want to achieve the healing center, so you can actually tap into a very successful healing center, and you sit with it and map to it. And the individuals who have created it, you can map to their energy and field and how they did it. And it will come in, the information will come in, and just like if you look at somebody laughing, you start laughing, you will start behaving and acting and doing, that's those successful actions that will attract the success for the center. Yeah?
Mm, right, right. Well,
but you do it consciously.
Right. Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. And that would also apply to anything else that was creative, like beauty and artwork and writing?
Yes, absolutely.
In fact, you talked about doing that. You do that. You call it like
it
a parallel world or parallel self. Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly it. When we do the timeline jumping, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When we jump timelines to see the successful Inelia that plays the violin or speaks French or does this or that, we sit with them and we map to their energy. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, I like that. I've used that quite a few times.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, one of the things that my music teacher, because I'm learning the violin, I've been learning for 4 years now, and I started with brain damage, so it was like really difficult to me to begin with in the first place, and now I'm getting better. But one of the things she said, watch people play, watch professionals, like really, really good, fabulously famous players, just watch them, sit and watch them. And she didn't know why she was saying it, but she knows that if people watch them, they're going to get better. But she didn't know the reason behind it. And the reason behind it is that you map to them. You map to those individuals that play really, really well. And it's everything, sports, any type of career that you want to do successfully, you find the successful people and you watch them. You watch them if they have, you know, videos about them, movies about them, and you just observe. Yeah, you observe and map to that energy. Sometimes when it's like movies with actors, it doesn't work as well.
Uh-huh.
But if it's like documentaries and stuff, that really works.
What are some other techniques that you can suggest for people to use?
One that I really, really love, it's if you go into like a park or into like if you go hiking or anything, or you're near the sea, then you can actually map to Gaia's higher frequency energy. You know, she's already moved on a while back into the higher dimensions. And you can actually map to that energy, and it's so amazing, so fabulous. It's just, oh gosh, it's like like an influx of positiveness. And that just, that's like a, fixes a lot of stuff instantly. But that's, you know, it's less, well, it's kind of really fabulously interesting too, but the more practical aspects of our life, oh, yeah, like poverty stuff, like the poverty mind. If you're surrounded yourself with poverty people or people who talk about lack all the time, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, I don't have the skills, or I don't have anything that says that type of thing, yeah, or people who say that all the time, you're mapping to not having lack, you know, like you're mapping to lack. So find people, find individuals on the internet, in the street, who don't speak like that, but actually do the reverse. I have time, I have the resources, I have the skills, I have the knowledge, I have the inspiration, I have the energy, I have the power. Yeah, map to those. And you're going to find that if, as I say those words, you might have reacted sometimes. People react to some of those, because part of the educational system has been to teach us that those things are wrong, that we're saying, I am gifted, I am powerful, I have resources, that we react negatively towards them, or that's something bad. Why? Because it disempowers us. So we are taught that it's bad to even think that way. Yeah. We have words such as arrogance and self-centeredness and all sorts of things like that.
Well, I really like the shift into communing with nature and with the essence of the planet. And you said that she's already in a higher vibrational reality. Is that an alignment that we're headed for? One of the lines of one of the paths that we are creating towards those higher realities?
Yes, one of the things and the reason why I was created and to have this lifetime is because Gaia and the human species, that's their aim. That's the main aim, to live and have an experience at a higher vibrational level where people and the planet can do so much more than what's being done here in this lower vibrational reality. And it's not just the souls. Actually, it's very little about the souls, but it's a lot to do with the physical bodies. Yeah?
Huh. Okay.
Because it's the physical bodies that are Gaia's babies. They are made out of Gaia energy and Gaia materials. We eat, we breathe, we drink their water from here, and that creates our physicality. Even if you are a breatharian, you're actually breathing the prana of the planet and the environment and the sun, you know? So it's from this physical reality. And so it's the physical bodies who are set to evolve, and then we can incarnate or even transform these physical bodies to that other frequency and do so much more. Imagine a physical body that can teleport throughout the universe and become adapted and adaptable to the environments in different areas of the universe, for example. Yeah.
That's what I'd like to do. Space,
yeah.
Right.
Time travel as well, or different things, yeah?
Right, right. Well, that's what I'd like to do, and that's an organic process, but what about the vast movement of science and technology that's attempting to use nanotechnology to achieve those very same aims, and much of that occurring without our conscious consent and awareness?
Well, again, you become conscious, first of all, and I know it's harsh to say, but your body is discardable. You can discard your body, yeah?
Right.
And you will be discarding or morphing it into something else at one point or another. Now, if you don't agree with the nanotechnology, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen to you as an experience because you don't agree with it. That's becoming conscious of it. There's no way that anybody can be enslaved or anything can happen to them without their consent. Sometimes what happens is we're just taken out of the game. I mean, it's happened to me twice, and now it's coming up again. I can feel it, that I'm going to be taken out of the game, out of this matrix, because something's going to happen that I have not agreed with to have it experienced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's really been really interesting in my life, whenever I have, there's certain experiences that happen or they repeat anytime. I've lived in many, many countries, and every time I have lived in a country, certain experiences kind of repeat. The socially speaking, some things happen after I arrive there, I can be there a few years, and sometimes just a few months, and something will happen that had happened in the previous country when I was there, and they had the one before that. So it's like a choice. We choose. I have lived through massive earthquakes, for example, in Chile when I was young, and I was never afraid. I was a tiny little kid. I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I mean, the house was just wobbling everywhere. People and adults were falling, and nobody could walk, and furniture was flying across the room. Really, really harsh. And this little kid, you know, not afraid. I was not afraid because when I looked at it and I looked at the timeline, I knew nothing was going to happen to me, yeah? I totally, absolutely knew it. And so I wasn't even afraid. And everybody was just screaming and crying and everything, men and women and everybody around me. So if you think about a tiny little six-year-old, that could be really traumatic, and they would map to that energy and become traumatized and be very, very frightened, right?
But I wasn't,
and I was just walking or trying to walk and crawling at points or walking on walls when it was, like, down on the side, trying to follow instructions, like get under a doorway, and I was perfectly fine. I was no fear or anything, and that kind of calmed the adults. I would walk past them, and all of a sudden, from screaming, they would kind of become calm and start looking after things. So it's like a reverse mapping, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you can do, too. When you go into a situation, it's like a difference between thinking or reacting to absolute knowing. When you absolutely know something, to be 100%, it's so powerful, so strong, that the mapping energy is enormous at that point. So even though it was a tiny little kid, I was able to create a field of energy that others could map to and become calm and collected and not so panicked, yeah?
Right.
And
right.
I wasn't doing that consciously, but I noticed as I was walking past these individuals that were screaming and panicking, men and women, they would calm down, yeah? And maybe just like looking back and looking this little child just looking at them and smiling, you know, that might have been the mapping they needed at a physical level, right?
Right.
So it's something that us as individuals, we're going to have lots of experiences, but we choose those experiences. And it's one of those things like somebody gets delayed, they never get delayed, but this time they get delayed and they go back, and all of a sudden there's a car crash, and if they had not been delayed, they would have died. You know, it's all about agreement and our time and what we decide to experience. And with the nanotechnology and all these other things that are happening, it's exactly the same. Nothing can happen to us. We cannot. It's impossible for us to have an experience we have not agreed to, whether it's consciously or unconsciously. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because that triggers a short story about me having totaled my car a couple months ago, and I completely lost control of it on a wet road, and was spinning out of control, and went onto the lawn and hit a parked car. But I knew it wasn't my time, and I knew that nothing bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I walked out. The tires were all flatted. There was a water main broken, and no damage to anyone else. But my car was totaled. And within 30 minutes, everything was finished. The police report, the car was towed away, they were fixing the water main, and then somebody happened to be outside that gave me a ride home.
So, exactly.
And I just knew. I knew in that knowingness, in that moment, I knew that everything would be all right. But I've been so close to death so many times that I've pretty much more or less lost my long-term fear of death, because I feel that, you know, we're eternal and infinite beings. And, you know, we go when it's time. It's not, if it's not your time, nothing's going to happen. So, you know, one of the things that I picked up from what you were just saying, and I want to make sure I heard this right, was that you said that you, am I right in hearing that you said you were sensing that there was another moment coming up when there may be forces that would want to take you out?
Well, that's always happening continuously.
Oh, okay.
No, what I meant is that sometimes when there's a reality happening that I do not agree with, right, that the human collective decides to have some sort of experience that I don't agree with, I'm actually removed from the matrix, yeah, for that period of time. And then I get returned. I come back, yeah.
Okay.
So it wasn't like somebody's trying to kill me, although they do try, you know, every single day. But it's like, and if I do so happen to die before 2017, you can be sure that it would be through my own foolishness, because I fell into one of the stupid traps, you know.
Right.
Like a belief system or a fear or something. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know. Oops. But, you know, it can't happen. For as long as I stay aware and diligent, you know, there's no way. It's only through if I become foolish or egotistical that can happen.
Right, right.
But one of the things that you said is actually key when you said that because you've been so close to death so many times, you lost the fear of death. That is actually a massively fabulous tool to have, because a lot of the time it's actually the fear of death that's used to kill you, right?
Right.
And or to manipulate you. So
yes.
To lose that fear, I would really strongly recommend anybody listening, work on it, research it, become curious about the fear of death, and process it, because it's a fabulous, fabulous tool to have. No fear of death. It's great.
Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, you know, I don't usually talk about this on the air, but I was in a vaccination study over 31 years ago in the hepatitis B vaccination studies, and I was given a strain of HIV. So it was included in, I got a little bonus. I got a bonus from the vaccination study that empowered me to live every day as if I was going to be dead. And so for the last 31 plus years, I've lived with the fear of dying of HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I saw so many people dying around me, I couldn't understand why I stayed alive. But I didn't agree with the medications everybody was taking, the AZT, so I flushed it down the toilet. And I thought to myself, well, if this is what it takes to live and I feel like this, I'd rather die. And I flushed the medications down the toilet. And because I did that, I have remained alive for over 31 years living with HIV and AIDS. So, you know, and car wrecks and, you know, totaling cars and overdoses and a few other things. So I've had more than one opportunity on my path to face the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Face him down.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful.
You know,
but I don't recommend that as a tool, by the way.
No, but you know what? To live your life as though it's the last day of your life, that's an actually just also a really, really awesome tool to have.
Well, sure.
And you don't have to have like an illness or anything like that. You can just have the intent to live every single day as though it was the last day of your life. And that's transformative. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is transformative. Because there'd be so many things you would actually do and so many things you wouldn't. And it brings a sense of freedom that most individuals don't have, because it's like, free will really steps up then. Every single day you're going to do what your will decides rather than what you think you should be doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you decide to spend your day in bed watching Netflix, that's exactly what you're going to do, and there'll be no guilt. There will be no pressure. There'll be nothing, because you know what? It's your last day, and you can use it however you want.
Exactly.
And then the next day, you could spend it inspiring like thousands and thousands of people, and you know what? You do it out of free will, because it's your last day and it's your day, and you can do whatever you like.
So, what motivates you? I mean, of course you have an agreement with that to come in and do this, but what keeps you inspiring people in this direction?
I think it's a program, because I think it's part of the makeup of the construct that is in Elliot Benz.
Ah.
I can't help it. It's like breathing.
Right.
You know?
Right,
it's
I
like
know what you mean.
When you're thirsty, you have to drink water. It's not something that I think about or need to do. It is like a sub application that is in my program. The structure that was created as in Elliot Benz, it's included, just like the skin and the dark hair and the, you know, the height, everything else. It's just as an integral part to do this. Yeah. And everything else is secondary. I mean, everything else is irrelevant. And everything else is just either supportive, or if it's not supportive, it gets removed. And it doesn't matter if it's a person, a situation, or a skill, an interest, it doesn't matter. If it supports, it stays. If it's not, it doesn't support, it leaves. So in that sense, it's very ruthless, and it doesn't feel very human, right? If you like quote human, quote. But it's part of that. That's how it happens. And after 2017, I have actually no attachment to what happens. I may go, I may stay, I might do something else. People have said, will you take another mission, another role? I have no idea, and I have no interest to look at that, and I have no attachments to it. It's really also irrelevant, yeah?
Right.
Recently, I have had the energy of kind of, it's done, like what I came here to do is done, and the rest is just noise.
Right.
And I'm thinking that I think it's related to what's about to happen that I won't be part of in the Matrix. And also, I think that the role or the way in which I deliver the information is changing or might change. So, but I don't know. I honestly don't know what's happening. Maybe 2017 came early. I don't know. Or I'm out of time space. Sometimes I have to remind myself, I ask people what timeline I'm in because it keeps changing. And sometimes things that I've shared with individuals in one lifetime is and life timeline is not in this one, so I'll have to go up to somebody and say, are we in the timeline where we went to Scotland? Kind of thing, you know, just listen as an example. And they could look at me and go, no. And they go, oh, okay, right, so this must be the timeline that we went to Spain.
Well, speaking of timeline, we're in the timeline that's out of time.
Oh, my gosh. Oh
so
my gosh.
We're right at the end of the hour.
Oh,
and,
wow. But we only started 5 minutes ago.
I know, I know. Well, you'll have to come back and do another show. And
okay.
We'll be seeing you on March 8th here at my house,
yes.
Zany Mystic
yes.
Ranch. And if people are interested in attending, they can write me at zanymystic59@yahoo.com. And they'll have your information. So I think we can just, let's just sign off, and you can just say whatever you want to say before we do say goodnight.
Okay. Be aware and conscious of who and what you're mapping to.
right. Thank you so much, Anelia. It's always a gift to be with you. And thanks, everybody, for listening.